You are listening to the Willpower Podcast. Welcome to the show. I am Will Holdren, and I talk with some of the most influential CEOs, entrepreneurial leaders, and thought leaders to try and reveal the secrets that has led to their success. I believe that with the right knowledge and mindset, you can do anything you set your mind to. So if you want to learn how to change your life for the better, if you want to learn how millionaires actually became wealthy, or if you want to develop and start your own business from the ground up with the right knowledge to help you, then you are in the right place because this is the Willpower Podcast. No way that we go is a one-way street. Nothing that we love is a one-day key. And if we gon' do it, we gon' do this now. And if we say we gonna, we gon' hold this down. How's it going, everyone? My name is Will Holdren. I am the host of the Willpower Podcast. Today we have an amazing guest who is also based out of the Atlanta, Georgia market. And his name is John Alwinson. And John is actually a faith-based entrepreneur. He recently published his book called Relentless Sales back of December last year. And in that book, he helps people redefine success in the sales arena. And he also has 15 years of sales experience, which is incredible. On top of that, he's won amazing awards such as Rookie of the Year and other awards on top of that. So he's doing a lot of incredible things. And I'm super pumped to have him on here today. So John, first and foremost, thank you so much for joining me today.
Yeah, Will, excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. I've been researching you, seen a lot about what you're doing, your book. I love what you're all about and your whole social media presence. And so starting out, I want to ask you a question that I pretty much ask all my guests, but what makes you want to take time out of your busy day to hop on podcasts like these to help share your story?
Yeah, I think ultimately getting to the root of identity, right? I mean, salespeople work so hard. We're in a tough industry at times and we get told to know a lot. And so I want to help encourage salespeople to know there's so much more than their sales number while I encourage them to be excellent in their work. So that's kind of what I'm all about.
Awesome. I love it. Definitely something that is needed. A lot of people obviously venture into sales and struggle with it. And you know, if they can figure out a way to kind of get over those humps and those setbacks, it can be a very promising and fulfilling career, right? So it's cool to see people like you that have done that and have been successful with it, kind of giving back to other people and help pull up other people with them.
Yeah.
Kudos to you for that. And so starting out, I want to jump into your personal story here. So how did you end up getting into sales in the first place?
So my brother, older brother, and I started a footwear company out of college. So we were manufacturing footwear in China, selling it throughout the US. So at one point we had about 150 small mom and pop shops across the country. At one point we were starting to get in Bass Pro and some of these other larger chains. Wow. And we gave it a really good run. We had 5+ years of that. And then, you know, as you can imagine, two young guys, we made every single mistake in the book. And at one point we decided collectively that we needed to shut it down, but we had a really good run. We had a lot of fun doing it. And then after shutting down the company is when I saw these guys walk around in these scrubs and I'm like, what are these guys doing that are walking in hospitals? And started my journey in medical device.
Okay. Wow. And so before we jump into medical advice, so you said you did go to college, which is pretty cool. And then out of college, you started your own business, right? So it kind of took a different path there. So what was your major in college?
It was business management.
Okay. Awesome. And your first thing out of college was starting the business?
Yeah.
Man, how did you feel about that? That's got to be stressful, right? I mean, coming out of college, your first kind of gig in business is going on your own, venturing on your own.
Yes, it was tough. And so much so that we were investing everything back in the company as all entrepreneur smart ones do. And I was working two evening jobs. So I was working, call it 7 to 5, 7 to 6, the entrepreneur gig. And then in the evenings working at a restaurant or a gym to just, you know, keep food on the table.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. And it's such a cool perspective too, because I've met a lot of entrepreneurs that kind of dropped out of college. Don't really love the whole idea of college, just go right into business. But in my opinion, I also graduated college last year. And so it's kind of cool to see your story also going through that college process and then jumping into business, because college to me is a really great way to learn your independence and see how you can handle yourself when you first get away from your family. And you still have plenty of time to start your business after that, right? Just like what you're talking about and what you did in your story.
So totally.
Yeah. And so you mentioned you jumped into medical sales after you shut down your shoe business, right? And so yeah. What made you officially want to get into medical sales and how long were you doing that? Is that where you pretty much had your sales career?
Yeah. So in chapter one of my book, we talk about mentors. And so that my mentor, a guy named John Riley down in Orlando, Florida, was a guy that was in our church growing up, was very successful businessman in Central Florida market. And what was so cool is I had mentors around me that kind of could help me in the journey. So what he did, John sat me down and he helped me identify my strengths. And then he was like, man, I really think you need to get in medical device. And I think you need to get into selling capital equipment. And those two things were exactly what I ended up doing. And had I not had a guy who's further along than me kind of giving me some direction, who knows exactly where I'd be. But my good friend John kind of helped me see the way.
Yeah. Mentors are obviously super important. And it's important to kind of find one that wants to see you succeed, wants to see you win. So it sounds like John was that to you kind of in your story. So medical sales, obviously. So what company did you join for that? Or was that something you kind of like independent doing that? Or did you join a company and do sales in that company?
Yeah. So I joined a Fortune 500 company at that time and I came on as an associate. So call it the first 7.5 years of my career was just adversity after adversity, you know, starting the company, not making anything, you know, associates in medical device, they are the bottom rung, you know? So there were days where I would work all day and then you know how it is living here in Atlanta. So I'd be working here and then get a text message saying, hey, you need to be in Miami in the morning by 7 a.m. for a case. And so the first 2.5 years as an associate, but the first 7.5 years of my sales career was full of adversity. And so it kind of shaped me to who I am today to write this book. But ultimately, this adversity and going through these challenges are really what's kind of why I am the way I am.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt. And yeah. One thing I personally learned as well while venturing in entrepreneurship is that there's going to be adversity. There's going to be a lot of ups and a lot more downs. So it's how you handle those down moments and help you persevere through those moments. And so in your story, what I want to touch on a little bit, that you said you were doing that for 7.5 years, right? Going through that adversity. And yeah. So many people, I think, look at the sales industry and say, man, if I just can just come in here, I'm going to crush it. And then give me a couple of years, I'll be sitting on a beach with a lot of residual income coming in and I'm good for life, right? And it's not the case, right? That is such a false narrative. So how did you know, stay persistent and motivated during those 7.5 years, even when it sucked, like at times, right? Like a lot of the times, like how did you stay motivated and kind of push through those down moments?
Yeah, I think I have a great family, so a great base, and then my faith as well. So I'd say family, my wife, Sandra, are the base that I have, foundation and faith have been key pillars that's kind of kept me grounded and rooted. So, yeah.
So touch a little bit more on the whole faith aspect. What part of the faith kind of, you know, kept you going in that direction? Because for me personally, I'm also a faith-based entrepreneur. For me, it's just realizing back in my mind, God has a grand master plan, right? And so you just have to have patience and know that God's going to lead you in that direction. And so that's kind of comforting because maybe when you get a no sometimes, you don't know all the details or why that person said no, but God, I feel like, has a reason for that no, right? And maybe it's for the better that person said no for a yes later on down the road. But that's just from my perspective. So I'm kind of curious to hear from your perspective how faith played a part in that.
Yeah. I mean, so my identity is in Christ. When we know who we are, we don't wither, we don't wilt when adversity comes. I mean, you look through the Bible, every time I read through the Bible, there's a character or a person in the Bible that went through a challenging moment, right? But God was there with them and helped them overcome, right? And it doesn't mean life is easy. It doesn't mean everything's going to be perfect and hunky dory, which it never is. But when you do have faith in a higher being, I think it gives you power. I think it gives you strength. And I think it gives you a likability with a customer too. Sometimes they don't always see it, but there's a trust that's built when they know that, hey, look, I can trust Will. I can trust John. These are guys that inherently they feel that they can work with. And I think faith gives you that resiliency, that relentlessness that we talk about in the book, but it also gives you that likability that customers really appreciate.
Yeah. And that's why your title of your book is so important, right? Relentless sales, because you got to have that relentless attitude to be successful at the end of the day, right? Because it might take you 7.5 years before you kind of hit that threshold and kind of start seeing the sunshine and the success on the other side of the road, right?
Yeah. So
jump forward to me to that 7.5 years in, right? What was the main thing that kind of switched for you in your career that really helped you kind of make that big switch in your career where now you're like, I'm successful at sales, right? What was that moment like for you?
Yeah. So I think, you know, it's good that the your audience knows my background now. So as you can imagine, I was just like wound up like a dog on the back of a meat truck, right? Like not making any money for the first 7.5 years of my career. I'm married. I'm like, I got to make something of my life. So when I finally had my chance to become a full-on territory manager after the 2 years as an associate, I just went gangbusters. So I was rookie of the year, and then I was rep of the year, and I was the best 2 years over combined, which is called founders, which is a big award in the company I was with. And so I tell you that there's no brag in that. It's just, I was just hungry, right? I was ready to prove myself. And I think it was the years of being in the furnace, right? Of being sharpened through the hardships of entrepreneurship, of being an associate, all those things. And I learned and I observed throughout the years. And I think that's something that a lot of people who are listening can learn. Is I always would ask people, what's your success? Like, what's working? Real talk, what's truly working for you in your territory? And for 7.5 years, I asked those questions. And then when it was my turn, I just went all out. And that's actually the chapter of chapter 3 in my book, Go All Out, because I think when you get your chance to finally prove yourself, you really have to put in that work.
Yeah. Yeah. And not many people actually reach that level ever, right? In their life, where they go all out or feel that all out kind of sense of themselves. So like I said, I think that's super, super crucial to having that, you know, that level of success and kind of reaching that next threshold of your business and your sales career. So jumping into that, because obviously you have your book, Relentless Sales, you understand the whole sales concept and what people struggle with. So a lot of people come into sales, right? But they don't really want to go through that 7.5 years of struggling, right? So why do most salespeople struggle? And what are the main issues that these salespeople have, and how can they start avoiding these issues so they can start success quicker?
Man, I think, again, the subtitle of my book is Skills, Mentality, and Faith. So I just keep coming back to these three things: skills, mentality, mental strength, and faith. And so on the skill side, a lot of people don't have good systems in place for their career. So we talk about owning the morning routine in some of my chapters. We talk about the mental discipline that's needed. But I think more importantly, the foundations of sales are the same, whether you sell a $500,000 piece of equipment or a $5 piece of equipment. And learning a really effective sales process, we talk about that in chapter 6 of my book. I actually give, I think, the best sales process that's out there from my good friend, Todd Zog. And I share that with the audience because I really think if you have that foundation, you can do anything across the sales game. But you do need to know the skills. You do need to know how to approach a customer. You do need to know how to pre-call plan. All those important things, I think, are so critical. And the skills are the skills are the skills are the skills, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. And so touching a little bit more, what is your sales process like A to Z? Like, you got a lead coming in.
Yeah.
You want to go in and close them. What's that sales process look like for you?
Love it. So if you and I are sitting down, I would bullet point right in front of you, right? And I think any good salesperson can quickly bullet point their sales process and then elaborate, gives you room to be flexible. So the sales process that we talk about in the book is prepare. So pre-call planning, making sure you take time to really look at the website, study everything you can about that customer before you meet them. And a lot of people say they do this. Most people don't. They want to watch Sunday Night Football. They want to watch Netflix. They want to scroll on Instagram. But a lot of people won't spend that 30 minutes. That can be that game changer for them.
Yeah.
So number one, pre-call plan. Number two is approaching the customer with rapport. And we talk about that as well, the story of Big Jim in the book. But when we approach our customers with rapport and get to know them with a warm smile and treat them like, greet them and treat them like a friend, a long lost friend, that is a great way to initially connect with your customer. So the sales process is pre-call plan, approach the customer with rapport, identify pain. Nothing happens in sales if you don't identify any pain. No matter how great the relationship is, if they don't have any pain, your service, solution, product won't be a good fit, right? They don't need you as much as they like you. Identify pain is the third step. Demonstrate value. And a lot of times I talk about it, the nuance there is a lot of times we just want to give the solution, but we should really be understanding the pain for a longer, couple layers deeper before we just give them the solution.
Gotcha.
Demonstrate value, advance, close, follow up. So that's essentially the easy step, a sales process. And really it's not rocket science. It's easy, but something that I'm really passionate about on my side.
Yeah, and I'm definitely interested to learn more about that in your book as well. And, you know, one of the things I've learned is that relationships matter, right? And so you can't go to someone and ask them to buy, maybe on the first call, first whatever, right? Because that's basically going up to someone and asking her to marry you on the first date, right? So it just doesn't work out that way. And I know a lot of people have heard that, you know, that saying before, but you got to find a way to kind of nurture that relationship and find the right time to do that, right? So I'm kind of curious for you, you know, how long does like a normal sales cycle work for you before you actually found yourself closing most people that you're talking with?
Well, I've sold a lot of a variety of different products in med device, right? I've sold, you know, $500,000 pieces of equipment. I've sold, you know, $5 pieces of equipment, right? And so I think the key is, you know, obviously what you sell, there's a different life cycle, right? If you're selling to a hospital system, they're going to have a capital budget, right? And if you're not within that budget, unless there's so much pain that they need it right there on the spot, most likely they're not going to be able to have a short sales cycle. So it really depends on what you sell. But I would say the more consumable products are anywhere from, call it 30 days on the low end to call it like 90 days, you know, on the higher end. And it can range depending on what you're doing. Capital can be, you know, 12 to 24 months at times.
Gotcha. I love that. Yeah. So like I said, it doesn't take the first week. It takes a couple months. Right? That's why you got to start early. So you got a good pipeline coming in. Close one and then wait a couple of days, close another one, right? But you got to start it now so they can kind of start trickling in on a better flow going forward. And another thing I want to talk to you about, because obviously you've done so much with sales and have been super, super successful with that. What is your kind of flow work like on your first conversation with that potential client? Like, do you have a go-to thing where you're trying to get this? Or how does that process work for you? Like on that very first conversation, you're talking to that potential customer.
Yeah, I think the number one call meeting in person, hopefully it's in person for most people, but if it's not in person, that first interaction should really be, hey, I appreciate the opportunity here. You know, before we talk about us, our solution, you know, really want to know more about you. What's important to you? And I think simplifying that, if you get nothing out of the meeting other than knowing exactly what's important to your customer, you've won that first meeting. So really at the end of the day, sales is more about helping. It can get misconstrued and taken out of context. And I think it's glorified on Instagram and all these other things. It's not that. Sales is serving, sales is helping. And if you put the customer first, make that the essence of meeting number one. That should, you know, you should be able to talk about your product, solution, service towards the end of that meeting, but up front, what's important to them?
Right. Like I said, that's so crucial. How can I help you? Right. And then follow back up with them. And so after the initial meeting, what does your follow-up process look like for a client eventually? Do you have a CRM too, where you keep track of like birthdays, all that kind of stuff? Or how, like, what's that process look like for you?
Yeah. So we do with the organization I work for now, we have a sales process, or we have a CRM, which is the most popular one on the market right now. But we also have, you know, what I encourage my reps to do is have zone territories. And what I do with that is I have a free download on my website, johnallenson.com. But geographically zone your territories and have everything on there from customer name to number. And it's really kind of a glorified CRM. So you don't get distracted when you look at your phone. So I have paper in my hand at all times. It's in the driver's front passenger seat of my car with all my customers and all their information. And I also have the electronic version, like the CRM. But I also think that the more nuanced things, like you talked about birthdays, et cetera, I keep that in the notes app on my phone. And so if I'm going into an account and I remember Susie at the front desk she loves cats. I'm going to say, what's up, Susie? Good to see you again. You know, how are the cats? Last time we talked about, I'll put those more personalized notes in the notes app on my phone.
Yeah, that's interesting. Because, you know, obviously if you can remember small things like that, that's how you kind of level up that relationship, right? Even just, I think, remembering their name, because anyone's favorite word in the dictionary is their own name. So if you can remember someone's name after meeting them once or twice, I think that's a huge bolster, right? So
yeah,
a lot of people struggle with that even. So it's just kind of focusing on those little things. And I think that also, you know, can help the relationship.
I totally agree.
Yeah, no doubt. So I want to jump more into your book a little bit here. And so obviously you've had a crazy successful sales career, but what really motivated you and drove you to kind of publish the book Relentless Sales?
Yeah, I think, you know, for years I wanted to write a book. My dad's an author as well. But it got to a point where I was, you know, people were always like, write your playbook, your personal playbook down. I heard a Dabo Sweeney talk one time where when he was, before he became the head coach for Clemson football, he had the offense, defense, how he would handle every aspect of a team when he became a future coach. And so for me, I just started writing my notes down, and those notes became turned into Word, right? On a Word document. And that Word document turned into really, as I was learning the game of sales, my personal playbook. And then a friend of mine, Joe, came alongside me. He's like, dude, you need to just tell yourself you're writing a book. And so I 2 years ago started writing and spent a couple minutes a day, and the rest is history.
Nice. How long did it take you to write the book?
It took me a couple of years. It took me since 2019, I had the desire. But it wasn't until like 2021 timeframe where he really pushed me to get serious about it.
Nice. And did you self-publish it, or did you find a publisher for it?
Yeah, we did. We published it through Amazon, and that process is very easy, and you don't have to do the loops and hoops of publishing companies.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. And so for the people that are reading your book, what are the main takeaways that you want these people to get out of your book after reading your book?
Yeah. So again, the subtitle is the skilled mentality and faith needed to be great in sales. And so I want to help people not throw in the towel too early. You know, chapter two is a big one for me. It's titled Identity, right? And we know who we are. We sell better. We're more confident. We're living from our identity, not for our identity. And so many salespeople get caught up in that rat race of I am a number. And, you know, whether they're stack ranked number one or number 500 in their company, they think they are that number. And so when we know our identity is so much more, you know, they can really grow. But a couple other things, we talk about confidence. We talk about relationships. I outline the skills like sales process, like we talked about. But one that a lot of people don't, a lot of people have come to me and said they really like is the conquering fear piece. In chapter nine, we talk about conquering fear. I think so many salespeople are fearful. And I'm raising my hand because I've been that guy where I've fallen that continuum of being afraid to approach certain customers. And I've kind of outlined the mental game that I'm really excited about getting out there and kind of helping that, you know, that early to mid salesperson really gain traction in sales.
Yeah. And the mental part is a huge part of it. You got to fortify your mind in order to come over like those bad moments that are going to happen. Right. And so you got to be strong up here so you can handle those moments. Now I want to jump into a little scenario here. So let's say I was in sales for like 4 or 5 years, right? I'm struggling, not making much money whatsoever. I'm really down and I'm this close to just quitting and going into like a 9-to-5 job, right? Taking a sales. What do you say to a person like that? And how do you really get out of a funk? Because I think so many people, I've seen it myself personally, just people that they do so well for like a year or two and then maybe struggle and then they get in funk and then they're done, right? So how do you really get overcoming, how do you overcome those funks and see the upside of stuff and stay in it?
It's so funny because literally chapter 8 is that. It's called owning the mental game. And it's me and a buddy, my good friend, sat down, our kids were playing at the pool, our wives were talking, and it was a summer day when I started outlining my thoughts on this. And the first thing, he was going through a tough time. He was in tech sales. Tech sales is all over the place, right? It's crazy. Sometimes it's hot, sometimes it's not. And he was struggling. He was in a slump. And I went over this with him. And the first thing we talked about was how success largely depends on how we think. And then we went into documenting our wins. So I said to him, take out a piece of paper. Let's go through everything you've won throughout your life from a kid to now. So if someone was in a bad spot, that's the first thing I would take. And so whether they made high school basketball team, whether they made a winning basket, whether they scored a winning touchdown, whatever it is, everything from top to bottom to where they're at now. And what you realize is you've been a lot more successful than you give yourself credit. And you've accomplished a lot more than you give yourself credit. So document your wins. And then I would go back to looking at our schedule, our daily schedule. What's it look like, right? Because success does leave clues. How's your morning routine? Are you waking up at 8 o'clock every morning? Or are you waking up at 5 a.m.? Are you staying physically fit? Will, I can tell you're a physically fit guy. You work out and train. You're on the right track, right? And so you're training your mind, body, spirit, right? Those three things. And I can get into more if you want me to talk more, but I think high level, document your wins and start there.
Yeah, I love that. I think it's kind of all going back to the positive affirmations, right? Just seeing really how much you have done in the past, because it's really easy to get caught up in the little things and see things, small picture where you're at right now, and take the blinders off. You can really see how fortunate you are to kind of be in the situation you are at right now. Right. So that's a big difference.
Exactly.
I mean, for those people, especially when they are in that slump, like, how do you know when it's time to switch up your routine, like your habits, like what you're doing, like how you're getting leads, how you're talking to leads? How do you know when it's time to really switch this up and try something else? Right. Is there like a moment for you that you're like, all right, I'm done with this, doing this way, and I'm trying something else? Or how do people know when to do that?
Man, great question. I appreciate that. You know, it's something I talk about with my team. I have 10 people on my team right now. And so, you know, we're constantly going through, and when I see patterns, like they're like, hey, I emailed and then I emailed and then I emailed. I'm like, cool. What else have you done? Right. Yeah. And a lot of times, you know, we're not it's a definition of sanity, is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. So as salespeople, we need to be very creative and understand if it truly is something we need to punt for now and come back to. Or if we're just going about the process the wrong way. And so whether it's how we're approaching it. And then the other question is, who in the organization are we calling on the right call point? Are we calling high enough in the hierarchy of that organization? Or are we fearful, right? And are we getting blocked at a lower level person? And so it really depends, but I do try to stay creative in our approach, because you can wear out a customer pretty quick if you're doing the same thing over. Like if you're emailing them the same request 3-4 times, you got to try something new.
Yeah. You got to be able to pivot and just adjust a little bit, right?
Totally.
Yeah. And so before we run out of time, I just got a couple more questions for you. But, you know, looking at your future, everything you've done so far, what are some main goals that you hope to get accomplished here in the next couple of years?
Yeah, so our goal this year for as a team and me personally is just committing to excellence. So right now I'm just trying to be as excellent as I can in my role. So my team, they're my customers, right? In addition to our customers. And so serving them, making sure I'm a great manager to them, being available to them, those are the things that are most important to me right now. And you know, I'm a competitor, super competitive. And every year that we suit up in sales, we want to win, be the region of the year. And so that's our goal this year, is to be the region of the year. We want to win. And our eyes are on that. So getting a what I call a championship, I look at sales like it is a sport, and getting another championship recognition of being the top region is something that's really important to me. But in addition to that, continue to improve in really all aspects of life. Communication, leadership is key for me. So continue to rise in rank. And leadership is important to me as well.
Always try to improve, right? All areas of life. I think that's what entrepreneurs do, bottom line, no matter what it
yes.
is. We're a lot of yes. caps and got to be good at all of them. So that's cool to hear that. And yeah. Before we jump off here, last thing I want to ask is if there's anything else you'd like to say. And also, if people want to find your book, how can they go about finding your book, Relentless Sales?
Yeah. So I think the main thing that I would want to just get out is greatness stands out. We talk about this in chapter 13, greatness stands out. And if you're going to compete, compete to win, you know, you might as well compete to win. So whether you're an entrepreneur, you know, and own your own business, whatever you do, you know, seek greatness, go for greatness and compete to win and give yourself that grace as needed, you know, that you're more than just a number. And so that's kind of where I'm at from that side of things. And, you know, would love to connect with your audience, Will. John Alwinson, J-O-N, and then alwinson.com as my website. I have a ton of free resources there if they want to download our zone territory, some of those other things that we talked about, the attack list. That's all free and that's available online. But more than anything, would love to connect with your audience on social media, and amazon.com has our book.
Awesome. All right, guys, there you have it. John Alwinson, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks, Will. Hey. No way that we go is a one-way street. Nothing that we love is a one-way street.